Today, we're going to focus on this very important topic. It's called sending out 70. And may the Lord send us too and be faithful in Him. So, let us go right in and to see what the Lord has in store for us this morning. First of all, we like to see this aspect in Luke chapter 10, verse 1. Let us read this. After these things, the Lord appointed other 70 also, and sent them two and two before his face into every city and place whither he himself would come. So, after these things, what are these things? So, we have already gone through several portions of the book of Luke. And in these portions of the book of Luke, we could see that first, the 12 apostles were sent out to preach and heal. And helping you to recap, to remember that in the previous chapters, the 12 apostles were sent out to preach and to heal. And Jesus fed thousands with 5 pieces of flat bread and 2 small fishes. That you remember. And how the Lord gave this great miracle and showed to the people that the Lord Jesus Christ is the Creator and He is God. And we also looked and read about Peter said that Jesus is the Christ of God, that the Lord Jesus Christ is the Messiah, the Son of the living God, and the Lord Jesus Christ is God. And we also see those things that were done previously. Jesus was gloriously transfigured. And in that magnificence of that transfiguration, the apostles really were awed. And that also in that transfiguration, God the Father proclaimed and said it directly, the Lord Jesus Christ, He is the Son of the living God. And also, we see that Jesus laid down the terms of discipleship. The faith, the understanding of the word must be humble. Tolerance, being a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. And urgency as disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. So these things were already said and already happened. And that's why in Luke chapter 10 verse 1, and after these things, the Lord appointed other 70 also. So now the Lord appointed 70 and sent them two and two before his face into every city and place whither he himself would come. So how big is the place? Wow. It is big, isn't it? Israel at the time of Jesus, right from Galilee. Then you have Decapolis, you have Perea, you have Samaria, you have Judea. There's so much work to be done. So much work to be done. So many towns, so many cities that the Word of God, the Gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ need to be brought forth to. So, there's a lot of work. So, first of all, we have to recap. Who is Jesus? Now, in 1 John 5:7, let's read that together. 1 John 5:7. For there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one. The Holy Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, the Word, God the Holy Ghost, three in one, Trinity. So Jesus is God, and that has to be very clearly embraced and sink in to the understanding of the disciples. Jesus is my Creator. And the multitude would have seen how the Lord Jesus Christ created the bread and the fish and the food to be fed to the people. And they also participated in that whole miracle by eating of the food. Jesus is Creator. Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, and the Messiah that the Jews were waiting for and praying for all those years. Jesus is my personal Savior, and that for the disciples, not to mention the 70, but many other disciples, the people who followed the Lord Jesus Christ, embraced Jesus is my personal Savior. We don't say that Jesus is Savior of my dad, of my mom, and therefore I'm also, because I am in the family. No, no, no. Jesus is my personal Savior. And we've also sang the song previous weeks, I have decided to follow Jesus. And because who Jesus is, it commands our all to give unto the Lord Jesus Christ. I decided to follow Jesus. So now we look at the 70 disciples. But before that, let me just pause for a while and look at this. The multitudes, what do they think of the Lord Jesus Christ? Some of them will think that, oh, maybe John the Baptist, maybe Elijah. And certainly many of them would like to think of Jesus Christ as the king that will come to topple the Roman rule. And they want to have a revolt. And they say that, wow, this Jesus is powerful, and surely we can now have a fight with the Roman rule, with the Roman Empire. But no, they were all wrong, because the Lord Jesus Christ did not come for that. And also, he asked the disciples, and that is why we have to be very, very sure who the Lord Jesus Christ is. Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. So in all these things, grasp it, embrace it, and internalize it, and then the 70 disciples were sent out. So after these things, without doubt, with full conviction, with full intent, and with full purpose, the 70 disciples will declare it that Jesus is the Christ. Jesus is the Messiah. And there are no more doubting. They don't have to be convinced any further. They are very, very much convinced. And they are convinced that Jesus Christ is God incarnate, God in person. And they are also willing to embrace the cost of discipleship. They are willing to deny self. They are willing to surrender their all unto the Lord Jesus Christ. Their life and their all. So that is the first thing that we need to grasp from this portion of chapter 10, verse 1. And then we also realize that the Bible did not mention the names of the 70 disciples. We don't know who they are or who they were. We do not know their names. It's okay, because that's not the focus. And you and I will also have the privilege to be sent out by the Lord to be His ambassadors. So we are the Lord's ambassadors wherever the Lord has placed us, and what a privilege it is to be ambassadors. And you know, ambassadors, and let's say Singapore's ambassador to another country. So wherever that ambassador is in that particular country, he needs to lift up the name of Singapore high. So likewise here, we are the Lord's ambassadors. What a privilege. The Lord has sent us to live in a particular place. Our Filipino sisters, the Lord has brought you to Singapore. The Lord has brought you to a specific employer. You say, oh, but I chose the employer. No, God chose it. God chose that employer for you. And God placed you there. We live there. And many of us also are what I call as imported demographics into Singapore. I'm one of those imported ones. And I know that some of you are also imported into Singapore. We live here now. God has a purpose. Work. God has placed you in places of work, wherever you might work, whether in factory, in office, in banks. God has placed you even in that position, in that work, whether as employee or whether as employer, in whatever capacity, God has placed you there to be His ambassador. God has placed you in the families. Which family you are born into, you have no choice. Did any one of you make a choice to be born in your particular family? You have no choice. God placed you there. And some of us can be ambassadors, or all of us should be ambassadors of the Lord Jesus Christ in the families that God has placed you in there for. Today, Pastor Lee wrote in the bulletin, someone said, oh, ayo, so long. Says six pages. How many of you have read it? Be honest. Good. God has placed us, well, the senior folks. I considered myself to have come into that realm, senior folks. And God has placed you there for a purpose. To be God's ambassadors, to be God's channel of blessings to the people that God wants you to bless. And, well, by the way, even though it's written for senior folks, but it's very much applicable to the younger people and even to embrace the senior folks. Don't kick us out, okay? Friends, you have made friends that I could not make friends with. Your friends may not be my friends because I do not know them. But God has placed you there in friendship, in what wherever that friendship may be. You're God's ambassadors. So those are gospel opportunities. And people in that group will be seeing you, will be watching you, especially when you say that you are a Christian. They will be watching you. Whether you realize it or not. So those are gospel opportunities whereby we live out God's word and be His ambassador. So to do what? To do God's will. So every day we have to ask God and pray, God, show me your will on how you want to use me to be a blessing to people whom thou hast placed me in contact with. So from now on, you will realize that every person that you meet, in whatever situations you may be in, and in whatever situations of life you may be in, God has a purpose. That you are placed there to be ambassadors for the Lord Jesus Christ. So shine forth for Jesus where you are, as the hymn of where the children will sing. Shine forth for Jesus where you are. So now we look at the 70. The 70 disciples, after these things, the Lord appointed other 70 also and sent them two and two, basically two by two. Why two by two? Because mutual encouragement. And it is important in the Lord's work. And of course, for Reverend Pang, went over to Saipan. Mrs. Pang is there. And she even gave up her teaching career with MOE and joined hubby over there. And praise the Lord. Two and two. And likewise, every one of us, we can pray and seek for people who can hold us accountable with regard to our spiritual life, our work as the Lord's ambassadors, mutual encouragement to pray one for another. So we can see that even in scriptures for mutual support, Peter and John, Paul and Barnabas, we've got Paul and Silas, we've got David and Jonathan, we have Moses and Aaron, we have Joshua and Caleb. Yes, it's always good to have this accountability partner and mutual encouragement in prayer one for another. Two and two. And what are they supposed to do? Send them two and two before his face into every city and place whither he himself would come. So here we see that Jesus is going to Jerusalem. He is very set on going to Jerusalem to fulfill the purpose for him to die on the cross, to be buried and later resurrected and ascended. Jesus is going to Jerusalem to fulfill his atoning death and resurrection. The Lord Jesus Christ is very resolute about that. So this advance party, as it were to go and tell the people about the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ. And they will be passing through various cities and places. And just now we see that there are lots of cities that need to hear the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ in Israel. And it is a gospel mission. It is not a holiday. It is not a time for shopping. It is not a time for cafe hopping and eating. It is gospel mission. It's very focused. It's very targeted. So that's what the 70 will be doing. And then we see God's harvest. Let us read in Luke 10, verse 2. Ready, go. Luke 10, 2. Therefore, said he unto them, the harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Pray ye, therefore, the Lord of the harvest, that he would send forth laborers into his harvest. So the first thing we want to understand, the harvest truly is great. This is an agricultural analogy. And some of us may not even have seen harvest. But for those of you who have seen harvest, whether it is paddy harvest, wheat harvest, when the harvest is ready and the harvest is great, it is time to go there and reap. The harvest truly is great. So that's the first thing that we need to look at. And then we also look at another word. The harvest is great and followed by the word, but the laborers are few. That's very sad, isn't it? It's a contrast. It's a contrast. We know that the harvest is truly great. If it is an agricultural sense, we need a lot of people to harvest it. It's really great. It's a lot. But the laborers are few. So it's a contrast to the urgency and the contrast to the capacity of the harvest. And that is how the situation is. But the laborers are few. And then we see another important word. And what is that word? It is pray. We see the word pray. Pray ye therefore. So in the work of God, prayer is important. The importance of prayer for us to be ambassadors of the Lord Jesus Christ and for the work of the Lord, for the church, for the family, for self, in fulfilling the gospel mission. And we're going to launch into that new Bible study series in Koinonia about the godly man and godly woman. And we can see that that needs a lot of prayer, that needs a lot of asking the Lord to help us, because on our own, we will stray away. On our own, we will do many other things other than being a true and a faithful ambassador for the Lord Jesus Christ. So pray ye, therefore, the Lord of the harvest. Who is the Lord of the harvest? God. Pray to God. And we want to see that he would send forth laborers into his... But first of all, well, let me look at the word. Send forth laborers. We pray that God will send forth laborers. Not spectators. Send forth laborers, workers. God, you can send that person. You can send the other one. I think the other one is quite good. A lot of talent. Send the other one. Don't send me. But God says that, pray that God would send forth laborers, and that includes us. Then say, but that I don't know how to be ambassadors. You are already placed in the position to be an ambassador for the Lord Jesus Christ. In the place that you work, in your family, in amongst your friends, in your circle of career and network. I can't reach out to the network that you could. So pray that he would send forth laborers, and that includes you, and that includes me. So don't point to other persons, and pray that we ourselves send forth laborers, not spectators. We are not in a football game, not spectators. We want to be laborers. And into whose harvest? God's harvest. It is not our harvest. Oh, you know what? I have saved a person. You know how good I am? When I share the gospel, that guy came to believe in the Lord. Put it in Facebook, how great I am. Nope, nope, nope. It's God's harvest. Don't rob that from God. It's none of ours. It is God's harvest. It is his harvest. And we are to be God's laborers. And what a privilege it is to be God's laborers. And we know that salvation is of the Lord. So don't ever think that we are so smart because we have convinced one person to believe in God and that person accepted the Lord Jesus Christ to be Lord and Savior. Do not ever think that that is your power. Do not ever think that that is your wisdom of articulation, of debate, of convincing. No, it is the Lord's harvest. Salvation is of the Lord. And therefore, in this praying that God would send forth laborers, and will multiply thousands of disciples, and every believer in the Lord Jesus Christ is a disciple. Every true believer in the Lord Jesus Christ is a disciple. And that is why in our church, we help you and we enable you through Bible studies, through Lord's Day preaching, through everyday reading of scriptures, so that you will grow in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And each and every one of us should be, and we are, disciples of the Lord Jesus. And just like the 70 that has been sent forth, we have already been sent forth. And of course, to some, it will be very, very specific in planting missions. But in our church, God has placed you here for a purpose, that you and I, be good ambassadors, and we pray that God will help us to be faithful in that. So let us look again. Israel, at the time of Jesus, there'll be so many cities, so many places whereby God's word, the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, should be given. And later on, not only in Israel, but also out of Israel, into Asia Minor, into Europe, into the rest of the world. And in such a way that you and I have heard the gospel even in Singapore. And we accept and believe the Lord Jesus Christ to be our Lord and Savior. So, let us go and see the gospel mission instructions to the 70. And what did the Lord Jesus Christ say to them? So Luke chapter 10, from 3 all the way to 9. So let us read this, verse 3, just verse 3. Go your ways, behold, I send you forth as lambs among wolves. Let us consider just that. Lambs among wolves. Excuse me, am I the wolf or am I the lamb? You are the lamb. You're the lamb. And what about wolves? What do wolves do to lambs? Lamb chop, right? Very delicious. So, rescue operation, the task of tearing the people who have been gripped by Satan, tearing them out unto the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a spiritual warfare. It's a spiritual warfare the 70 will be experiencing, and it's a spiritual warfare that you and I will be experiencing. And one way that the evil one can make us come up with 1,001 excuses, oh, maybe it is not this time that I should share the gospel, and maybe, you know, it's all right, I can act in a way that it's contrary to the Bible, because I can blow my top. I can be very angry. It's okay, because I'm not in the church. Pastor Lee is not there to see me. Whoa. Lambs among wolves. Realize that it is a spiritual warfare. The wolves is always there, ready to want and eat up, bite the lamb. So, send you forth as lambs among wolves. Now, verse 4, let us read that. Carry neither purse, nor scrip, nor shoes, and salute no man by the way. Well, carry neither purse, nor scrip, nor shoes. That is faith. You don't carry money with you. That is faith. I mean, I know that many of us now, we don't carry a wallet, which I've learned, I've not carried a wallet for the long time now because everything is paid through my phone. But no, you're not even supposed to bring those, neither purse, nor scrip, nor shoes. Faith in the Lord to provide for the 70. That is how they should go. And salute no man by the way. It is focus. What is this saluting no man by the way? In the Eastern culture, when you meet someone and someone want to make friends and you have all the salutations, have you eaten your breakfast? Have you eaten your lunch? If not, you come and eat lunch and talk and talk and talk and talk and distracted. No, no, no. This is focus. Salute no man, by the way, is focus. Do your job as the ambassadors, especially for these 70. Verse 5 together. And into whatsoever house ye enter, first say, peace be to this house. Blessing. And why peace to this house? Because the gospel of peace, the peace between God the Father and all of us, between God and us, peace to this house. The gospel peace. Yes, in Israel, they would normally say shalom, or in the Chinese church, normally say ping an. Maybe we should say peace to each other, a grace. Peace be to this house, blessing. Because these 70, the ambassadors of the Lord Jesus Christ, will be bringing the gospel of peace to the house. And in verse 6, ready, go. And if the Son of Peace be there, your peace shall rest upon it. If not, it shall turn to you again. What does that mean? And if the Son of Peace be there, if they accept the Lord Jesus Christ, if they accept the message of the gospel of peace, if the Son of peace be there, then your peace shall rest upon it. And your peace, what is your peace? The peace of the gospel message will rest upon that household. Share with them. That's what the 70, they are supposed to do. And if the Son of peace be there, they accept the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, your peace, the gospel peace, shall rest upon it. If not, it shall turn to you again, and you move on. Let's read 7. Ready, go. And in the same house remain, eating and drinking such things as they give, for the laborer is worthy of his hire. Go not from house to house. Verse 8. And into whatsoever city ye enter, and they receive you, eat such things as are set before you. So, adapt. Even being ambassadors of the Lord Jesus Christ, adapt and receive with thanks. So you are given that thing as hospitality, given that thing to eat. Think of what? Give to you some char kway teow. I don't like that char kway teow. Don't have si ham. I don't want to eat. Eat such things as are set before you. Don't complain. Basically, adapt, receive with thanks. And that is the instruction given to the 70 going on this gospel mission. Don't be too picky. And whatever that the Lord can use those people to give hospitality to you and to be a blessing to you, because the laborer is worthy of his hire. Now, verse 9, ready, go. And heal the sick that are therein, and say unto them, the kingdom of God is come nigh unto you. Whoa. Delegated power from Jesus. Heal the sick that are therein. A special power delegated by the Lord Jesus Christ for this gospel mission. It is not that you and I now can just go around healing people. We pray that God be merciful to grant them healing. But these 70, they are given special delegated power. And the kingdom of God is nigh, come nigh unto you. That is, salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ is here. The Lord Jesus Christ is here. And the 70, as an advance party, will say that the Lord Jesus Christ will come, because the Lord Jesus Christ is going from Galilee side towards Jerusalem. So let us see now dealing with rejection. Luke 10, 10 to 12. All right. We read verse 10 together. Ready, go. But into whatsoever city ye enter, and they receive you not, go your ways out into the streets of the same, and say, continue, even the very dust of your city, which cleaveth on us, we do wipe off against you. Notwithstanding, be ye sure of this, that the kingdom of God is come nigh unto you. Let's pause there for a while. This is going to be judgment of the Lord. You do not curse the person. You do not quarrel with that person. What do? You just leave. And in this case, the very dust of the city which cleaveth unto us, we wipe off against you. And judgment is of the Lord if they do not receive you. It is not because they reject you. They reject God. They reject the gospel message. But the Lord Jesus Christ is telling the people, whatever and however they reject the gospel message, remember, notwithstanding, be ye sure of this, that the kingdom of God is come nigh unto you. Whether you like it or you don't like it, whether you reject it, the kingdom of God is come. The Lord Jesus Christ is here. And salvation is for you to embrace and to accept. You want to reject? You want to argue in whatever ways? Fine. God's kingdom is here. And that is the message. That is the very stark, very straightforward message whereby the 70 will be giving unto the people. And verse 12, read together, ready, go. But I say unto you that it shall be more tolerable in that day for Sodom than for that city. Whoa, this is a great pronouncement of judgment. Those people who rejected the gospel, and the gospel is given to them in the most simple form, and the Lord Jesus Christ is in the midst, they reject. It shall be more tolerable in that day for Sodom. What happened to Sodom? God's punishment. And you see that picture. God's punishment. Fire and hailstones, brimstone. And Sodom is completely burned out. And that was the judgment. But here it says that it shall be more tolerable in that day for Sodom than for that city, which means that if you reject the Lord Jesus Christ, even though it is made so plain for you, and the Lord Jesus is in your midst, and you reject the Lord Jesus Christ, beware of the judgment of God. So, let us see how that pronouncement of the judgment will be. And this is from Luke chapter 10, 13 to 16. And we read 13 first. Ready, go. Woe unto thee, Chorazin. Woe unto thee, Bethsaida. For if the mighty works had been done in Tyre and Sidon, which have been done in you, they had a great while ago repented, sitting in sackcloth and ashes. Let's read 14 too. But it shall be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon at the judgment than for you. 15. And thou, Capernaum, which art exalted to heaven, shall be thrust down to hell. Wow, this is judgment for rejection. So we can see, first of all, Chorazin. I put down in the map, and you can see Chorazin is slightly toward the north of Sea of Galilee. And you also see Bethsaida. And you also see, You can also see Capernaum, Chorazin, and Bethsaida. So let us see. For Chorazin and Bethsaida and Capernaum, what are they famous for? It is normally called the evangelical triangle. The evangelical triangle, Jesus our Lord walked, he taught, he did miracles in these three cities, but they rejected the Lord Jesus Christ. And we could see also that in today, if we were ever to go to Chorazin, it's ruins. Today's site, ruins, even Bethsaida, ruins, even in the second century. So we can see here that comparing with, we look at Bethsaida. You see this Bethsaida? What is in Bethsaida? So we could recall Philip, Peter, Andrew's birthplace. Many of them have heard the gospel. They have understood and they have also rejected. And feeding of the thousands of people with the 5 flat bread, loaves of bread, and 2 fishes. It was quite near to Bethsaida too. So you can imagine that all these miracles were presented and it has taken place even in these places. But what about that city, Capernaum? What is famous about Capernaum? Hey, it is the Lord Jesus Christ's headquarters. That is Capernaum. It's Jesus' headquarters. It's his HQ. many, many miracles. And Peter and Andrew was there. Matthew was called to be an apostle. And he left all his tax collector's job and went to the Lord Jesus Christ. And many, many miracles. So what were the miracles done in this evangelical triangle? Healed the centurion's son. We've gone through that. Healed the paralytic. We've gone through that. Cast out unclean spirit. Raised Jairus' daughter. And healed the woman who had a bleeding issue. And many, many more. So these three cities, they have all the wonderful manifestation of the Lord Jesus Christ and the miracles to authenticate that the Lord Jesus Christ is God. But Capernaum, Chorazin, Bethsaida, they rejected the Lord Jesus Christ. So what did the Lord say? If the mighty works, which I've just mentioned just now, what are those mighty works? If these mighty works have been done in Tyre and Sidon, and what is this Tyre and Sidon? They are pagan Phoenician cities, which are on the western side of Israel. So if they have been done there, which had been done in you, they had a great while ago repented, sitting in sackcloth and ashes. Reminds us of Nineveh. And how Jonah would have gone over there and preached the gospel, and the entire city repented of their sins, sitting in sackcloth and ashes. But you, Capernaum, the HQ, Bethsaida, Chorazin, you rejected the Lord Jesus Christ, the judgment will be great. And the judgment will be so great. And let us see what happened to Capernaum. This Capernaum has a special mention in verse 15, because it's the HQ of Jesus' ministry. He lived his life in Nazareth and then came to Capernaum, set up his HQ over there. And thou, Capernaum, which art exalted to heaven, shall be thrust down to hell. It is Satan's grip. It is almost like a mention or relation to Satan. Satan's grip on that city, on the people to reject the Lord Jesus Christ, is so great. Capernaum shall be thrust down to hell. And we look at verse 16. Let's read that together. He that heareth you heareth me, and he that despiseth you despiseth me, and he that despiseth me despiseth him that sent me. What the 70 should do is just to proclaim the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, just like the Lord Jesus would have you and me placed in different circumstances and situations in our journey of life to be his ambassadors. But if people reject you, well, if they hear you, they hear me. If they reject, despise you, they despise me. If they despise the Lord Jesus Christ, they despise God the Father that sent me. So the judgment will be on them. Beware of God's judgment. We share the gospel faithfully and we leave the consequences to God. They say that, you know what? I've done all these things. I've shared the gospel, but they are not coming to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. You pray. Pray that God will melt their heart, turn their heart of stone to heart of flesh, because salvation is of the Lord and we leave the consequences to God. We faithfully give the gospel. And some of us, some people may be so familiar. It's called familiarity breeds contempt, especially in second generation Christian homes. Parents believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Children have been following parents all the while in the family. And it's part and parcel of, it's a must-do on the Sundays. But if that child, if that person has this familiarity that breeds contempt to the Lord Jesus Christ, the judgment will fall on them. Be careful. And we pray for our next generation. Some of us reject. Then accept. Praise the Lord. Salvation is of the Lord. And I remember Pastor Lee asked the question, did anybody accept straight away? Well, I know of people who accepted straight away. But that is not even of that person's wisdom. It is the grace of God. Salvation is of the Lord. It can happen, except straight away. Praise the Lord. So the disciples were rejoicing. Oh, these 70 disciples, very happy, rejoicing. And in verse 17, let's read that. And the 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. Wow, so happy. Can do exorcism. Wow. Devils, I call your name, get out. Hey, it works. So happy. Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. That's what the disciples are so excited and happy about. The first thing they ever report to the Lord Jesus Christ, Lord Jesus, we are so joyful. We are so happy. Wow, I didn't realize that you give us this power. Even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. Through the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And what did the Lord Jesus said? Ready, verse 18, ready, go. And he said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. He said, I can see that. I can see that I was watching. While the 70 are on the gospel mission, I could see that it's tearing sinners out of Satan's grip. I can see that. And also the Lord Jesus Christ, of course, would be able to see the eventual downfall of Satan himself in that eternal doom in the lake of fire. But as the disciples were going up there to snatch sinners from the grip of Satan, the Lord Jesus said, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. And what a marvelous gospel mission that is. And verse 19, and we read together. Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. And that is doing the gospel work. Jesus protects us when we are faithful to do his gospel work, and that is an assurance. What is this reference to serpents and scorpions? Not physical serpents and scorpions. They are powers of Satan. And God has given unto them that power to tread on serpents and scorpions and power over the enemy, so that the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ will go forth, rouse then soldiers going forth in the army of God. Because salvation is of the Lord. And we remind ourselves, great in 1 John 4:4, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. So when we go forth to share the word of God, when we go forth to be ambassadors of the Lord Jesus Christ, don't go and purposely look for serpents and scorpions and go and test your feet barefoot and press. No, it's not talking about that. It's talking about the power of the gospel, that at the end of the day, salvation is of the Lord. And we can see here also that verse 20, very important. Ready, go. Notwithstanding in this, rejoice not, that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice, because your names are written in heaven. Hey, people, Don't be so happy to say that I cast out the devils. I'm able to do that, tread on serpents and scorpions. Notwithstanding, well, yes, you can rejoice, but notwithstanding in this, rejoice not that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice in what? Your names are written in heaven. That's what we should rejoice, because when we are saved in the Lord Jesus Christ, that is the great rejoicing. And that is the greatest miracle that could happen in our lives. So, when our names are written in heaven, it's a forever salvation. God will preserve us. God will help us to persevere in our Christian life. And we are snatched from hell's damnation. That's the joy. Every one of us, are we joyful that we are snatched from hell's damnation? Check ourselves and ask the Lord to give us that joy, that personal salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ. And that is our rejoicing. And we should thank God and praise God. And with that rejoicing, every day in our lives, we worship God. We worship God in our lifestyle. We worship God in our prayer. We worship God in the morning. We worship God in the evening. We worship God in the way we live our lives to God's glory and honor. And we worship God in being very conscious of the presence of God in our lives. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. So that's what we are supposed to be happy and rejoicing about, that our names are written in heaven. So today, check in our own lives. Because if your names are not written in heaven, then be very, very scared. Because upon death, it will be hellfire and it'll be forever and ever. So be sure we are saved in the Lord Jesus Christ. So what about the Lord Jesus Christ? His rejoicing. Verse 21 together. In that hour, Jesus rejoiced in spirit and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent and hast revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight. The Lord Jesus Christ rejoiced in spirit that those people who are worldly wise and who are proud and thinks that, no, the Lord Jesus Christ is not God. I think my God is the cow. I think my God is the moon. And I think my God is my wisdom. And I think that I did not come from God. I came from a one-celled amoeba animal. And I come from evolution. Oh, don't talk to me about all these things. I am worldly wise. And the Lord Jesus Christ said that, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that thou hast hid these things from the wise and the prudent, the so-called wise in their own eyes. And they are foolish in God's eyes. But thou hast revealed them unto babes, unto babies, unto people who accept and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ with a childlike faith. It's not that you're turned into baby. It's for when we accept the Lord Jesus Christ, accept with a childlike faith. And even so, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight. So at the end of the day, salvation is of the Lord. And let us look at 22. And read it together. Ready, go. All things are delivered to me of my Father, and no man knoweth who the Son is but the Father, and who the Father is but the Son, and he to whom the Son will reveal him. So the word is to whom the Son will reveal him. Wills to reveal him. God is sovereign. And thank God that if you are seated here and listening here this morning, God has given you the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And be saved. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ because He has revealed that gospel, that good news to you. And what is mentioned in 23 and 24? Let's read together. Ready, go. And he turned him unto his disciples and said privately, Blessed are the eyes which see the things that ye see. For I tell you that many prophets and kings have desired to see those things which ye see and have not seen them, and to hear those things which ye hear and have not heard them. Which ye see. What did you see? They saw salvation in Jesus Christ, in the person of Jesus Christ, and there's authentication with the multitude of miracles, and that Jesus is the Messiah, Jesus is Christ, Jesus is God, and Jesus is standing there in their midst. So, for many prophets and kings have desired to see those things which ye see. Capernaum, Chorazin, Bethsaida, yet you rejected the Lord Jesus Christ. So, what is this God's, Jesus' rejoicing over? The doctrine of election. To make it simple, that it is not because we are too smart that we accept the Lord Jesus Christ, that we are too good, is because God elected us. And God chose you and me to be in His kingdom. There is nothing in us to boast about. And we have only to thank God. And that if you are listening to this message this morning, then the gospel message is also for you. And come to Christ. Come to Jesus Christ, the Savior. Make no delay. So we're going to read this famous portion of John chapter 3, 16 to 19. And as ambassadors of the Lord Jesus Christ, when we go out there to share the gospel of the Lord Jesus, this would also be the message that we will give unto the people. Let's read. Ready, go. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. He that believeth on Him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men loved darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. If any one of us here this morning, listening to this plea, listening to this portion of Scripture, my plea with you, come to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And make sure that your name is written in heaven. Because otherwise, upon your death, you will go straight to hell. And say, don't frighten me. Not frightening you. Because that is a fact that God has given to us in His Word. No, I don't believe it. I don't care whether you believe it or not. Because it will come. And it is true. So what do we do today? Let us pray for salvation. If any one of us here this morning have never prayed this prayer, and you want to pray this prayer, and you want to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, I will pray with you, and you pray in your heart, and you repeat after me. If you sincerely pray that prayer from your heart, believing in the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, today you are saved. Today you'll be a Christian. Today you are brought into the kingdom of God. Let us close our eyes. I will pray this prayer. If any one of you here have not believed in the Lord Jesus Christ and you want to believe today, you repeat after me. Dear God, I admit that I am a sinner. And I ask you for your forgiveness. I believe that Jesus Christ died for me and forgives me of my sins. His blood cleansed me of my sins. I repent of my sins and receive Jesus Christ as my personal Lord and Savior today. I commit to forsake my sin and trust and follow my Lord Jesus to live a new life that is pleasing to you. In Jesus' name, I give thanks and pray. Amen. If you have prayed this prayer and you sincerely believed in your heart the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, praise the Lord! A new name has been written in glory. And this next hymn that we will sing is written by... Hang on a while. Somehow this thing doesn't work. Okay, yes, it works now. It's my photo. Written by Austin Miles. Austin Miles had gone home to the Lord in 1946. And he wrote this beautiful hymn that in the past we have been singing this song quite a lot. I was once a sinner, but I came, pardon to receive from my Lord. This was freely given, and I found that he always kept his word. There's a new name written down in glory, and it's mine. Oh, yes, it's mine. A sinner has come home, for there's a new name written down in glory, and it's mine. Oh, yes, it's mine. With my sins forgiven, I am bound for heaven, never more to roam. Let us pray. Almighty God, our gracious Father in heaven, we want to thank Thee for Thy word in the sending out of the 70. Send us out in the places, in the situations of our life, in the journey of our life, into the various contexts in our lives, that we be Thy faithful ambassadors, and proclaiming the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ to them in words as well as in our lifestyle. Father in heaven, we pray that if any one of us this morning has prayed the prayer of salvation, we praise Thy holy name. Even the angels in heaven rejoice over one that is saved. So, Father in heaven, thank and praise Thee through Jesus Christ, our precious Lord, we pray. Amen.